Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, and welcome to The Balance. Well, moving day, I'll tell you what, it is hard to get things going sometimes. Stand by, we are having some technical difficulties, but we will resume the show right here in just a moment. Hi, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark with Sal Presidente. Well, we're running the best of today. We're having some technical difficulties, so please stand by.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Yo, baby, yo. Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could take time out of your Saturday morning to drink your coffee, eat your bagels, or your donuts, or my case, donuts, listen to The Balance here. You're listening to us right here on Blog Talk Radio, but you're also listening to us all over the United States on your computers, on your phones, and on our computer radio. I want to tell you, I really do appreciate you and all of our social media minions that join us every Saturday. A little bit of a programming note of what's going on today. We are doing a best of show, which just simply means that we're going to be spending the next couple hours just playing some of the best of The Balance that we've had over in the last few months. Perhaps you've missed it. You know, some of our favorites here at The Balance Radio Network. And the reason for that is just quite simply, we are moving studios, and we are doing that, and it just requires all hands on deck. And to be quite honest with you, we've got a lot of equipment that we're moving, and so we just decided that probably the best thing to do is to tape our program. So today, and today only, for some minor exceptions, our program is taped. So we're going to be playing the best of throughout the program today. Now, I'll tell you what, though. We are still going to give you a full balance of sports. Everything from racing to football to college football, all the way to your fantasy football lineup. So we will not forget any of that. And right here in just a few moments, I'm going to go ahead and break down what's going on in sports right now. But before we do that, we're going to dedicate this entire show to the families and victims of Hurricane Sandy. What a terrible, terrible tragedy that was that our nation has experienced. And this comes a time where Americans do what Americans do well, and that's to join forces and to help out one another. And certainly there's a lot of different avenues and a lot of different charities that you can go to in order to donate to that. Now, damage from Sandy, they say, could cost as much as $50 billion. Now, that's, you know, that seems like a lot of money, but that really is a lot of money. So, you know, we really want to take some time today to let you know that to go to the Red Cross, and they'll tell you the proper way. Cash is always good in situations like this. And they'll tell you the best way to donate some cash. So go to the Red Cross, and they will guide you in the best way to give to the hurricane victims. So we dedicate this entire show to the victims and the families out there at Hurricane Sandy. And I know that some of you guys that are on my personal Facebook page were like, man, he was addicted to Sandy this week. And I was. I have to admit, I had a minor addiction go through me there. But I worked through it, and we got through it just fine. But, you know, I was talking to one of my colleagues, actually, who's out there in New York City, was telling me that they live on the 45th floor. No elevator, no power, and having to go up and down 45 flights of stairs on a daily basis. Myself, that would give me a kill-over heart attack. So I tell you what, say what you will about those East Coasters. I tell you what, they are as tough as nails. And you look at some of the situations they've had to deal with over the last few years. Obviously, we think about 9/11, and we think about the tragedies there in New York City and how that affected that. This is, you know, obviously not in the same comparison, not even in the same conversation, but only to give an analysis that, you know, those people out there in New York are tough as nails, and our hats go off to you. So all of our listeners out in New York, we hope that you're able to listen to us today, and this show's completely dedicated to you. And we're so glad that you guys could join us on The Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I do want to make sure that you guys take some time to go to our social media, T Balance on Twitter and The Balance on Facebook. Also, our sister company, Indy Pro Sports. Go to IndyProSports.com and also Pro Indy. Now, you guys will also notice throughout the show, our social media will be up and working, so we will be doing that as well. So we are doing a best of show, but before we get to that, we are going to talk a little bit about what's going on in sports. We'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquessel, Presidente. That's right, you do got to fight for your right to party, but you don't have to fight for your right to know about sports right here on The Balance Radio Network, where we give you a full balance of sports. Now, like I told you just a little bit before the break, we're doing a best of show today because, and you'll be hearing me say that throughout the show, because I know my minions are just like me that have a very short-term memory. We won't go into what caused that back in the college years. Heck, we didn't inhale. We were just experimenting. Well, we are doing a best of show today, and we are doing that because we are moving our studios here in the Indianapolis metro area. So we're moving to bigger and better things. So hopefully you guys won't see much of a disruption other than today's best of. But I do want to, before we get to our best of, and believe me, we've got some good stuff. And what we've done is myself and my producer, Michelle, has put together some of the best clips of The Balance over the last few months, in case you missed it, or maybe you just want to hear it again. I'll tell you what, we have a very good lineup for you. Well, as you might have expected, the firing of Randy Bednar, wow. Well, you know what, we talked about it here on The Balance with our buddies over at Speed Talk. Cliff and Kenny joined us last week, and we talked about that very issue. Here's the thing, if it smells like a fish, or walks like a duck, or whatever, it didn't pass the smell test. Not with me, not with Cliff, not with Kenny, and not with you guys. And I tell you what, we are on the verge of a very hostile takeover. And you know what we're going to see here happen. And again, this is our opinion. This is an official word come down from IndyCar. And in my opinion, which really all that matters on this show, because after all, it is my show, right? No, I'm kidding, minions. Your opinions count way more than mine do. I just won't let you talk. That's just the way it is around here. No, I'm kidding. Of course, I love to hear from my minions. And you know, I tell you what, I'm going to go through some of the emails that we got and some of the conversations we got into, you know, through our social media and through various different aspects of The Balance. Regarding the firing of Randy Bednar, certainly you feel free right now to send a tweet to T-Balance. You know, what are your thoughts about Randy Bednar and Tony George? All signs point to the fact that Tony George is going to be taking over IndyCar. Well, on one hand, we might say, well, he created IndyCar, and why couldn't it be his? Well, he made a disaster of it in the first place. And as we know here at The Balance, we are fan-geared, fan-oriented. We don't have big network bosses telling us what to say and what not to say. So we kind of say what's on the fans' mind. And I tell you, we have a lot of IndyCar fans, as you might expect, here in the Indianapolis metro area. And of course, all over. But especially here, we have found that many people are not in favor of Tony George. Now, a lot of people weren't in favor of Randy Bednar either. Although, in my opinion, I thought he was very good for the sport. But we certainly, I think and hope that I'm wrong on this, but all signs point to the fact that Tony George will be taking back over IndyCar. Perhaps You know, we say we learn our best lessons from history. Maybe that's what's going to happen here. Maybe Tony really did learn a lesson, but you got to wonder, do IndyCar owners, what are their thoughts? What is going through their mind right now as all of this is going on? Especially, it could happen at a worse moment, because even though we have, what, 5, 6, 7 months until the Indianapolis 500, they're gearing up right now for Indy 500 and for IndyCar, obviously, in 2013. How's that going to affect? How's that going to affect IndyCar? Now, at the moment, there's not been a sale of IndyCar. Right now, Tony George has full, I'm so sorry, Holman Company still has full control over IndyCar. But as we talked about, just doesn't pass the smell test. You know, we got a recent email. It says, the recent decision by the board of Holman and Company to fire Randy Bernard has finally, more than anything else, given relief from mental torture and brain damage caused by being an IndyCar fan for the previous 18 years since the split. I no longer care what happens or feel any desire to follow the series anymore. You know, you say in with... In with the old and out with the new. Well, maybe that's what happened here. But I think we are in with the old and out with the new. So I don't know. I guess that's how you would say. Well, maybe in with the new and out with the old. But I think it's the other way around. We also had another fan. I want to extend my congratulations to the board of members at IMS and the car owners in the second dumbest move since the split. They managed to remove, and he didn't resign, by the way. He got fired. The best thing that ever happened. We're talking about IndyCar going back to Pocono. I tell you, it just doesn't make sense. And one of our fans, or one of our minions right here in Indianapolis, in 2012, I attended 12 races plus the 500 qualification weekend and watched over 3 races on television in 2013. I might attend the Iowa race and watch a few others on television if I don't have anything else to do. Being an IndyCar fan is like having a wife that's subject to you to emotional abuse. I love it! Tom in Indianapolis. No, it wasn't me. It was just another Tom. I love it. So, guys, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts with Randy Bernard being fired, not resigning, maybe given that ultimatum? I want to hear your thoughts. Go ahead and tweet them now over to T-Balance, or you can post your comments right there on our Facebook, The Balance. And if you haven't liked us on Facebook, I really don't know what's wrong with you. I really, really don't know what's wrong with you, because that's where all the fun is. That's where all the cool people hang out. Let me tell you what. That's where all the cool people hang out. Well, guys, you know... And we're just going to kind of zip through this stuff here at warp speed, because we do want to get to the best of, because that's really what we're doing on this show. We're taping our show, and obviously we gave all the guys at Speed Talk the day off and Evan and Jimmy the intern the day off, Pete LaFuchsia. We are going to try to, here in a little bit later on the episode, hopefully we'll get all that lined up. We can run Elizabeth the Greek like always, but it will be a little bit later in the show if that does come together. So we gave them the day off, and so we're going to be running the best stuff. But I do want to talk about that win from IU football, getting a Big Ten win. That's right. On the very same week, I don't think it's coincidence, guys. It's coincidence. But, you know, as an IU fan and IU alumni, I have got to just be proud of my Hoosiers. I'm going to tell you what a fantastic game that they had against the University of Illinois. Now, you ask yourself, do they still have a shot at the Big Ten title? Nah, probably not. But, you know, it is fun to talk about. I mean, Indiana football has been difficult to watch for some quite some time now. And I'm an IU alumni, and, you know, I can't tell you how frustrating this season has been. And in seasons past, you know, for example, to see us go up 17-0 on a Michigan State, only to fall in the fourth quarter. Just heartbreaking, heartbreaking. But it was good to see them come back with a win for sure. So, you know, we look at the upcoming schedule that they got. They got Iowa coming up. The Hoosiers are coming, again, off their first win since September 8th and coming back for the very first time for a close game against Ohio State. That was and then on November 10th, we got Wisconsin, guys. That's a tough game. This will be a very, very tough game for the Hoosiers. And that will be happening on senior night as well. But I always hope and pray for the upset. So we didn't want to get into that. And, guys, we will get into all the college football and all of that next week. We haven't forgot about you, and we certainly would encourage you to make sure that you follow us on. And we'll have on our Facebook how to follow Jimmy the intern. And we just got all the college sports lined up for you. And throughout the day, we'll have different things on our social media as well. Now, we also want to talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Colts. Dolphins come to town this weekend. I tell you what, we talk about playoffs. Playoffs! I know what you're saying. Don't jinx us, El Presidente. Don't jinx us. Well, here's the thing. I am just elated at those Indianapolis Colts. There is a possibility here, guys. You know, I don't want to talk about playoffs, but everybody else is doing it. I mean, should we be talking about playoffs with the Indianapolis Colts? You know, Andrew Luck says, no, we shouldn't be talking about playoffs. But we look at what they've been able to do, okay? We look at that loss against Chicago at the very beginning of the regular season. Very expected. So we weren't too disappointed. But then we look at that huge win against Minnesota, 23-20. Great, great game. And then we fall back with Jacksonville. Really a game that we probably should have won. Then we had the bye week in week four, and then Green Bay comes to town, and what a fantastic win that was. That 30-27 win out in the fourth quarter, down way behind in the first half. Obviously, everybody had signed them off, and they turned around and pulled out a win. And then, to turn around and have that disappointing loss against the Jets, okay? All I'm saying is, guys, something has lit a fire. And we look at what's happened with Chuck Pagano. Chuck Strong, if you've not got your shirt, get out there and do that. I've got mine. Here's the thing. You know, Chuck was in the building earlier this past week, and he was able to attend some meetings. And of course, he's going back through his chemotherapy. And we wish our best, and our prayers go out to Chuck Pagano. But the Colts have a new fire. The Colts are winning for Chuck. The Colts are no longer Colts strong. They're Chuck strong. Look at this. Against Cleveland, the 17-13 win. Fantastic win. And then last week, what an overtime win. Ballard, way to go, my buddy. Get that guy on the show. Pure athleticism. Ism in the ism. You know, I don't even want to tell you how excited I was. Are the Colts back? I don't know. Are they? We look at what's coming up here against Miami. Miami, obviously, going in at 4-3, and we're at 4-3. They're 2-2 away, and we're 3-1 at home. I tell you what, this could be a good game. This has all the potentials of being a good breakout game for our Indianapolis Colts rookie quarterback, Andrew Luck. But we also got to look at the fact that they've got to take a play-by-play opportunity, and they have to control the run. We cannot come back from the fourth quarter to win. That is not how we should be playing football. As an exciting win as that was last Saturday, we should not be playing football that way. You know, it's just, to me, we got to do better. We got to do better in controlling the run. We got to do better on controlling the clock. I mean, quite frankly, we have got to play better in all four quarters as well. Well, guys, Did you see? We didn't have a chance to really get into the Giants, and of course, all of this stuff that happened with Sandy. And I do want to remind you, we're dedicating this entire show to the victims and the families of Hurricane Sandy. You know, we our hearts and our prayers go out to them. If you guys want to donate some money to Hurricane Sandy, we'll have that information up on our website. But go to the on our website as also on our social media, and you'll see social media pop up throughout the show. So if you're not following us on Twitter, go ahead and do that now. T-Balance, or on Facebook, follow The Balance and give us a like there, because we'll have all the information on there. But go to the Red Cross. They say the best thing to do in these particular type of situations is cash. Cash is always best. But we didn't get a chance to talk about the Giants. I don't think anybody saw this sweep where the Giants swept the Tigers. Didn't see it happening. I didn't see it happening. My hats go off to the Giants, you know, and just as a disappointing loss as it was for my Cardinals to go up against the Giants, it was a good feeling to know that we got beat by the best in the world. And congratulations to the San Francisco Giants. Obviously, we get ready for next year. Well, guys, real quickly, before we get to our best of, I do want to talk with you a little bit about fantasy football. I know a lot of you guys tune in. A lot of our minions tune in every Saturday for Fantasy Football Huddle. And so I do want to get into that real quickly, guys. I don't have a lot of time to get into this. Unfortunately, this is one of those times where you're going to have to go out there and do your research. This is also the time of year where you guys need to be looking at your free agencies and perhaps doing some things that you may not have thought about doing when it comes to your fantasy football lineup. Now, here's the thing. One of the things you want to look at is, and I preach this every week, and we do it here on the Fantasy Football Huddle on The Balance, is what does the matchup look like for you? Who are you playing? What are they? What is the matchup for? And you look at, we're going into week nine, and you know, this is the time where you need to really be looking at the live wire at the free agency wire on your wire list. I would definitely begin to look at moving some of your players around, if not dropping them, trading them, and working up your trades. And I don't really have time to go into all of those, but I tell you what, you look at Michael Vick kept his job. How did that happen? We are going to get deep into that next week, and perhaps maybe we can get Ed Kratz from the Philadelphia Eagles, the beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, with Calkins Media, to call us in and tell us how in the world did that happen. Well, Michael Vick kept his job. Eagles head coach Andy Reid is pondering a change. Well, it was pondering a change of the quarterback, but I don't know. Maybe Andy Reid's wife said, hey, keep Michael going. I don't know. Guys, also, I just wouldn't be swinging too much on the Michael Vick story, even though they've said we're going to go ahead and keep him. Also, guys, I'm not a big fan of Phillip Rivers. Some of the running backs I take a look at: Doug Martin with the Buccaneers, Jonathan Dyer of the Steelers, Darren McFadden with the Raiders, and Ronnie Hillman with the Broncos. Normally, obviously, you guys know we do the buy, sell, and trade. I'm not going to be able to do that. And I would look at getting rid of Ahmad Bradshaw, Alex Green, and Steve Jackson. Definitely get rid of Steve Jackson. I wish that I really had time to talk to you about that. But it's officially a timeshare situation in St. Louis, with Jackson basically splitting reps 50-50 with the rookie seventh-round pick Darrell Richardson. And with the Rams' offense failing to the top 20 points of their last six games, Jackson is no better than a third running back string. In my opinion, go ahead and get rid of Steven Jackson. I hate to say that about Steven, because he's did me well in the past, but this is the year. Well, really, we've got to just look at some of our breakout guys, and Steven Jackson isn't it. Some of the wide receivers I like is Mike Williams, Titus Young with the Lions. We talked about him a few weeks ago right here on the Balance. Go ahead and pick him up. I also like Cecil Shorts and Sidney Rice as well. Some of the tight ends. Jason Witten is really starting to make a move. And I tell you what, I'll be the first guy to tell you, I was a little unsure. I set him for a couple weeks, and I thought, well, maybe I would be getting rid of him and picking up a new tight end. But Jason Witten with the Cowboys, he seems, those of you and me included, grabbed him as a second-round tight end in a 12 or 13 team league, who gambled and it's paid off. So also get rid of Greg Olsen. All I'm saying is, guys, I wish I had more time to just break this down. We're going to do this all next week, because we do got to get to the best stuff, because that's what we promised you, and we're going to do that. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to just dive right into when we get back. Actually, right after this break, we're going to, as you remember, we were out at Lucas Oil Raceway for the NHRA Nationals, and we were there with the Speed Talk guys. We had a great opportunity to meet some of the best NHRA drivers, and one of my favorites, Courtney Force. Love that interview. Be right back with it right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. All right, welcome back to Lucas Oil Raceways. It's the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. That's Cliff. That's Pete. Joining us now, I tell you, is an honor to have just a legend, racing legend. We've been talking about your father, been talking about you too. All good things, though. Courtney Force. Courtney, welcome to the Balance.
Hi.
Welcome to have you in person.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So how'd the contest end up?
It was good. It was definitely in my favor. I mean, the track to shoot out, it was a little crazy, you know, trying to get the fan votes. But in the end, it was all up to the lottery, and I got lucky.
Well,
luck has nothing to do with it.
I don't think... Well, welcome to the Clint Eastwood chair. We're telling all the guests the exact same thing. So I don't know if you know what we're talking about, but Clint Eastwood gave a speech the other night where he was talking about Obama being in an empty chair. So every time there's an empty chair now, it's the Clint Eastwood chair. So it really is an honor to have you sit in the Clint Eastwood chair, because we know that when it's empty, that it means bad things. So when it's
awesome.
Full. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on today here at the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals.
Man, we got a busy day. But, you know, yesterday coming out, you know, first day of Indy, we had a good run, ran a 4:08 and got top speed at 3:11. And it put me in the number three spot. So our Traxxas Ford Mustang's been running pretty good. I'm happy about it. You know, being that it's Indy, I mean, there's a lot going on. I got media all day, but hoping this rain holds off so we can get some good runs in.
Well, I mean, obviously, after your win, you've got the confidence and you're moving up and you're just going to become busier, and that's your own fault for winning. You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I like it. I don't mind, you know, keeping busy. I'm always out on the road with my dad, so I'm kind of used to the craziness just working with him. But, no, I mean, I'm having fun with it. I mean, just it's media. I'm used to it, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of pressure coming up. Obviously, it's the last race before you go into your championship run. Do you feel pretty confident you're locked in?
It's just crazy. I mean, I think we got a good car. I mean, running in a 4:08 yesterday makes me feel pretty good, you know, getting in the show. And I think that's kind of all we need just to get locked in. We might already be, but I don't know for sure, so I wouldn't say that.
You're close.
I think I got a bonus point, though, yesterday for that, making it in the top three. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I got my fingers crossed, hoping everything goes well. And hopefully we'll get clinched in the top 10. I mean, it'd be pretty crazy to go battle it out for the championship, so we're ready.
Pete? Oh, sorry.
Well, while he's thinking, I'll ask you this.
Obviously, I was looking to see if she's that point putter in or not.
No problem. She's close. I'm looking at it right here. you've been around the track with your dad for a long time, and the U.S. Nationals is always important to everybody. What would it mean to you, and how much excitement would you feel if you could pull this thing off today and get that bump going into the championship run?
It would be huge. I mean, obviously, you want every point that you can get just going into the countdown to the championship. And, you know, we're hoping to get in it, but, you know, I mean, it's Indy. Everyone wants to do well here. I got some big shoes to fill. My sister had to go out and win Indy back-to-back, and now I'm like, thanks, Ashley. Like, how the heck am I supposed to top that? But, I mean, it's a huge race. I mean, I'm going to do the best I can, but it is my rookie season, so, I mean, I'm still learning out here. I'm just having a good time. I'm having fun, and I just got my fingers crossed for this weekend. I mean, we got two races that we're really going after to try to get a win, but with one win under my belt this season, I mean, it's already been going better than expected. So just being at Indy is huge for us.
Well, you know how you take care of beating out Ashley is you just need to win three in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's how you do it. So.
Well, now, Courtney, you're obviously a fan favorite. Everybody loves you. We love you. In fact, I tell you what, you're our guest of honor today. We had headlining you in our press release about you being here. So we really appreciate you taking time.
No, thank you.
But you're also one of my personal favorites. So it's an honor to talk with you. But you also are Ford Motor Company's favorite. Tell us about the gig with that.
I mean, it's been awesome. I've actually obviously been working with Ford for a while, not only on with our race teams, but, you know, with the Ford Driving Skills for Life. It's my second year in the program, and being a spokesperson for them is pretty awesome. I mean, it's great going out and trying to set a good example and, you know, be a role model and really talk to, you know, all the kids that are coming on as, you know, new teen drivers and trying to teach them safe driving. And it's really cool with the program that they've, you know, brought on. It's pretty awesome trying to get all the kids to go out, you know, check out drivingskillsforlife.com and you know, look at the tutorials, the, you know, the tips, the videos. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and it's really cool that, you know, they've taken the initiative to really just, you know, go out and try to teach these kids how to be safer drivers. And I mean, I'm a race car driver, so I think it's a lot of fun to, you know, be a role model and kind of talk to them about it, because I remember what it was like to just try to get my driver's license. I was horrible at it. And trying to, like, learn from my dad as, you know, backseat driver was the worst thing possible. So, I mean, I definitely wish I had Driving Skills for Life, you know, back then, I mean, that I could have used. But, I mean, it's just a lot of fun. It really is an honor.
So when you took your driving test, did the person in the side with you from the state of California go, okay, we're going to do more than straight lines now, Miss Force, like, kind of like put you in your place or want to scare you or
no.
Acknowledge that she knew who your father was?
No, I don't think anyone knew. I mean, it was really just very strict and, you know, business, and I was just trying to pay attention to doing everything right. And, I mean, I tried to keep my dad away from me when I was trying to go over and take the test. My mom kept me pretty calm, but she actually taught me, she had me learn in a Ford Excursion. So I'm like, you know, in the biggest vehicle out there and trying not to run over people. And, I mean, it was better for me. I liked learning in a larger car because I think anything after that was easy.
Was the Force family locomotive not available? Is that why you had to use the Excursion?
No, that was my mom's. That was her soccer mom car, I guess.
Locomotive?
Oh. Is she taking all of soccer Europe with her? Those things are just huge.
Well, Courtney, we only got a few minutes with you here, and I appreciate you stopping by. But you qualified third, obviously, first year at Mack Tools U.S. National. What do you think? Different than being a you know, John's daughter, you know, walking around the infield in the motor coaches and so forth. You're the actual driver now. You get to go to the driver's meeting.
I know.
How does that feel?
That's always the weirdest part. That was the weirdest thing, you know, Pomona being in the driver's meeting, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, these are all drivers, and I wanted to go around and, like, talk to them. Like, I grew up with them, but some of the top fuel guys I've always, like, wanted to meet, and it was so weird being like, shoot, you know, keep your composure because you're one of them now, kind of. You know, I'm still the rookie, and nobody really knows me, but, it's just still surreal. I mean, I'm out here. I think you can tell by my interviews I'm a little too over-energetic, but I can't even go back and watch them. It makes me nauseous.
It's a family trait. But, come on.
I'm just having a good time. I just love being out here. I grew up wanting to do this ever since I was a kid. So, I mean, it is very surreal. I'm loving every second of it. And, I mean, just getting qualified at every race, I think you could see the look of shock on my face. Still just crazy to me. So, I mean, it's awesome. I love it.
Now, we tried to get this answer out of Brandon earlier. He would not tell us. What is on the iPod of your on your dad's iPod?
On my dad's iPod?
Does he even have an iPod?
I think your dad has an 8-track.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You should see his cell phone. It's still like a flip phone with like an antenna. It's ridiculous. I try to get him to borrow my iPhone. Like, I gave it to him yesterday, and I was trying to show him a picture of Jacob because he took his first steps yesterday at the Big Go. We were
awesome,
so excited.
Awesome.
But no, I'm trying to show him a picture, and he like starts tapping all these buttons on the screen, and like next thing I know, he's like doing a status update on my Facebook. How you get to that screen. So he's not very good with technology, but we did get him an iPod, and I think we put, like, you know, a bunch of Elvis on and some country songs, some, you know, and some random, like, Jimmy Earl that
What it reminds me of? My same thing happened with my wife's phone. My daughter started playing with it and turned it to Mandarin, so it would only recognize Chinese. I mean, so he's like a four-year-old.
All right. Unfortunately, my producer's doing this, so which means we got to wrap it up. Courtney, we appreciate – what's on your iPod? Do you listen to iPod before you get in the car? Do you listen to iPods when you're going down the drag? I mean,
I haven't yet. Actually, Ashley used to. She always played Christmas music. That was her thing. She loves Christmas. She's like an elf, I swear. But no,
well, and her car colors were Christmas colors, green and red.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I just try to listen to anything that gets me pumped up and energetic. I don't know. I listen to everything from country now to, I don't even know, house music to rock and roll. So who knows?
All right. Well, Courtney, we appreciate you joining us. Where can people find you? Obviously, your dad's Facebook. Or
Facebook at Courtney Force and Twitter at Courtney Force. I'm always posting stuff throughout the race on Twitter, and it goes directly to my Facebook. So, yeah.
Well, we wish you luck here at the Mac Tools U.S. Nationals. And, again, an honor to have you with us today.
Yeah,
Have a great race.
Thank you so much.
Courtney Force of the legendary John Force family. Guys, that's going to do it for us. Cliff?
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark with Sale Presidente. You know, I tell you what, you're listening to a best of show. To catch you up on what we're doing here is we're actually in the process of moving our studios. We're having a great time doing it. I've got the entire Balance team, all hands on deck, helping us move it. Next week we'll be back and in full force. And as you know, we are taping the show. Oh, wow, what a great interview that was with Courtney Force. Fantastic. I tell you what, it was just a lot of fun. And you know, I must say that I've interviewed a lot of drivers, a lot of different sports personalities, different things over the years, but she remains one of my favorites. So Courtney Force, obviously the legendary John Force Racing. Some of the facts about her, you know, she became just the second woman driver in history to beat her father, drag racing icon John Force, which, by the way, had an opportunity to meet him and talk with him out at the Mac Tools U.S. Nationals. Obviously, it was rained out. Had a good conversation with him. And, you know, he's been on the show here on The Balance, but he wasn't able to make it that day on The Balance. But over on Speed Talk, he was. So go ahead and check him out there. But what a great interview it was with Courtney Force. She is so much fun, as you can see. We had a lot of fun with that. Guys, we'll be right back with more Best of The Balance. All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark Wazell, Presidente. I am so glad that you guys took some time to join us on a Saturday morning. It is the best of, as we've mentioned a few times here on the show, it is the best of, and we are moving The Balance Studios, and it's we've got everybody working and everybody's moving. We got the movers here. We're loading up the truck. But the great thing about it is we're moving to a bigger and better studio. We totally outgrew our other studio. That and the neighbors were complaining. But, hey, what do you do? you know what? It is good to go back to the best of. And, you know, myself, and as I mentioned earlier, myself and our producer and social media director, Michelle, we had to go through and just, like, it is hard to figure out what is the best of. You know, we have had a lot. We've been doing this show for a lot of years. But, you know, we wanted to find something that, you know, our fans like. And we cover a lot of racing, and we really do, and we love racing. And we team up every week, for those of you that don't know or might be new to the show, we team up every week with Radio Speed Talk, our very, very good friends of the show, Cliff and Kenny, and, you know, Pete's no longer with them, but he as you heard with Courtney, was with them then. But what we do is we have a lot of fun on the show, and we talk about some serious discussions. And we, you know, we have fun. And we were looking back and we were listening to some of the sound bites. And here's the thing. We met a guy in Michigan, which really is so much fun to be on. He's been on the show a few times, and we're trying to figure out, well, we wanted to use this guy, and we thought, well, where was the best of Walter? And we're speaking of Walter Cox with ESPN. Give you a little bit of background about Walter. We met him at the Michigan race a while back, and we've just become good friends, and I enjoy that. You know, a lot of times you meet people, he's like, hey, how you doing? Walter and I have really become true good friends, and he's just a great guy and a good friend. Here's one of the what we're getting ready to play. Is back when Chris Economaki passed away, just right after that, we wanted to talk about that. We wanted to spend some time talking about that. And also, we've got a young driver who races here locally in Indiana, late model races, by the name of Josh Timmerman. And Josh Timmerman does a great job, and I'm going to let him talk about it. You'll hear about it on the soundbite, on Families of Hope. It's just a great, great charity that he works with. And, you know, I know we are dedicating our entire show to the Red Cross. And I'm sorry, to Hurricane Sandy, and contact the Red Cross. They say cash is the best thing in these type of situations. But I also want you guys to listen to him and go to Families of Hope. It is a great, great organization. And we've had them on the show before as well. What I'd like to do now is go to this and give you a little bit of a background, set this up, if you will. What was happening here? We were having some, and I told you, I just got done telling you, we've outgrown our studios. We were having some technical difficulties, and just everything, you know, the thing about radio is we just keep going, and everything will work it out. We've got professionals, we've got engineers, they work everything out, but we were just having a struggle there. So to set you up on this soundbite, I mean, we had Walter Cox from ESPN and Kenny joining us to talk about Chris Economaki, and then as well as Josh Timmerman as in the latter part of this soundbite. So I wanted to take some time to set this up for you guys. This is a lot of fun. Serious conversation. Like I said, we have fun, and we have some very serious conversations. This was our memory and talking about Chris Economaki and the passing of Chris Economaki, obviously one of the greatest radio voices in racing of all time. Right now, here's Walter, Kenny, and Josh Timmerman.
Wonderful day here in Dover.
How you doing, buddy?
Beautiful. Good to hear your voice again.
Good to hear yours as well. Well, guys, we're going to jump right into this. Unfortunately, we are having some technical difficulties, so I hope everybody can hear me just fine. And we're trying to resolve these little bugs and stuff going on right now as we move along through the show. But unfortunately, we are, in radio, sometimes you have to change your plan and you just kind of have to go with the flow, as they say. And unfortunately, we're talking about the passing of Chris Economaki. How do you say the last name?
Economaki.
Economaki. I got it right now. I'm good. I tell you what, guys, it's been one of those mornings here. It has just been where everything has just fall apart that could fall apart, has fall apart. But Chris Economaki, which really, excuse me, which is why we brought you on board with us today, Walter. He actually you know, really kind of invented the pit reporter job. And as you shared with me yesterday, and I'm going to have you share with our audience here in a moment, that he actually had some sort of unique sort of ways in the media center and so sort. Of sorts, I guess.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, maybe I should have had some of that diet Mountain Dew that you always drank there, Kenny. Kenny.
It's blowing and your mind is going, that's for sure.
That's right. Kenny, help us out here. Talk to us a little bit about your, Kenny, talk to us a little bit about your memories of Chris and what he brought to racing.
Well, Chris Economaki was the man when I was growing up. I mean, that was about the only voice that you could hear, whether you flipped on the radio or you turned on TV. Heck, he did TV for 40 years. He had a very unique style, a very unique voice. If you were underneath the race car banging away on something and somebody found racing on the radio, you immediately knew it was racing because of Chris's voice. He knew what he was talking about, and he put it in terms that the average guy could understand. He didn't talk over technical to anybody, and he also was right. You know, he didn't blow sunshine in people's face. And the other thing we liked about him was he just had a passion for the sport like nobody that before or since, really, because he really cared for the sport. He loved the sport. You knew you were going to get a great broadcast and a straight skinny any time you heard of Chris Economaki, whether it's TV or radio.
Right, and absolutely. Chris Economaki was one of the greatest and one of the legends when it comes to racing reporting. And I brought Walter Cox from ESPN with us on board with us today to really talk with us a little bit about about Chris and what he brought to the sport, and especially ABC sport. Walter, talk to us about Chris, and what kind of a guy was he?
I tell you, I had the honor and privilege of working with him back at CBS Sports back in the day, and it's really hard to put into words. When he would come into a room, you know, people would just stop, because he's the type of guy that when he had something to say, there was always a good story behind it. So everybody was like little kids at the campfire, and they would just sit down on the floor, Chris Economaki talking, and he's wheeling out these wild stories from the past with, you know, experiences with the drivers and everything. He was really a unique individual to be around. And so much so in the media center, you know, how technology progressed and people would start bringing in their laptops, and Chris Economaki would never have a laptop. He always brought his little typewriter in a box. So he couldn't email his stories in. He would always fax it to wherever he had to go, because the media centers most of the time had a fax machine. So he was always, always old school, which was very cool. And you didn't see him walking around with a little recorder recording the interviews. He's writing it down with his writer's pad. So a very unique individual to work with. I got a fast fact for you, if you're ready for it.
I am ready, sir. Bring it on.
Did you realize that Chris Economaki's mother was the great-niece of Robert E. Lee?
I did not know that, and that is a
Deep
great
Southern connection. Chris being a Jersey boy, I just thought that was pretty wild. And also, he served in the Army in World War II and appeared in two movies as himself, Stoker Ace and Six Pack.
Now, I did know that. I did know that he appeared in two movies as himself. And real quickly, guys, I do have this soundbite I want to play back from an interview back in 2006 with Dave Despine with the Speed Channel. We're going to go to that, and we're going to come right back. And I want to talk a little bit more about what Chris brought to the racetrack right after on the back of it.
Race fan could name, and many, many more. And of those, am I correct that you identify a midget racer as the best you ever saw?
Yeah, well, of course, he later on became a big car racer. That's correct. Bob Swanson from Los Angeles was the finest race driver I ever saw, but in a crash helmet. No question about that.
Why?
Well, he understood the car, he understood the track, he understood the rivals, he understood his tires, he understood his engine, he knew what he could do and he knew what he couldn't do, and he did it well.
Better than anybody, better than Foyt, better than Andretti.
Let me give you an example of Bob Swanson's ability. In 1936, he was an accomplished midget racer. Right? The Vanderbilt Cup race was programmed at Roosevelt Raceway on Long Island. It was a zigzag or pretzel-shaped road course with too many turns. The Europeans all came with their Alfa Romeos and Maseratis and British ERAs and everything. And a California car builder who was famous for his midgets, named Danny Hogan, built a car for that race, and Swanson drove it. Well, it couldn't match the straightaways. He didn't have the right kind of transmission. But in the turns, he would pass Dazio Nuvolari, who won the race.
Nuvolari versus Swanson.
Bob Swanson would go by Tazio Nuvolari's Alfa Romeo in the corners, and Nuvolari would overtake Swanson, and it would happen over and over again. And when the race was over, Tazio Nuvolari, the famous Italian who won the race, sought out Swanson to tell him he was the finest driver he had ever encountered on a racetrack in his career, which is quite a testament, I think, to Swanson's greatness.
All right, and that is Chris Economac, in his own words, talking about, you know, really talks about how Bob Swanson was the best driver he ever saw over such names like Foyt and Andretti. So we'll start with you real quick, Kenny. What are your thoughts on that type of comparison?
Well, it's a little tough to me, because you compare two different eras, two different cars, two different situations. But I think if Chris Economac says Bob Swanson was a better driver than Foyt and Andretti, I'm going to have to say that's probably gospel. You know, he saw him. We didn't. He knew how to compare drivers. He's only been doing it since, 1934 or so, when he was a teenager. That's good enough for me, man. I'm just going to do a little Bob Swanson research after this show.
Well, and also joining us is Bob Cox from ESPN. Now, Bob, talk with us about that comparison. What are your thoughts on that?
I have to agree with the other gentleman. It's, you know, different eras and different types of cars, different drivers and everything. But when Chris Economac, I think he had the eye for it. You know, he could really tell, and talent goes so deep. You know, it's not just being able to drive the car. It's being able to do the other stuff that goes behind it, the setting up of the car, the building of the car, the working with the team. So, I feel the same way. I want to know who the Swanson guy is. We're doing our Google after this show.
Absolutely. Are you trying to tell me that I stumped both somebody from Speed Talk and ESPN on the same show? That will never be able to happen again in my life. But I do want to welcome a brand new young driver who is an up-and-coming driver as well, as Mr. Josh Timmerman. Josh, are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey, I am so glad that you are with us today. And, Josh, you're joined also, of course, you know Kenny from Speed Talk. And you're also joined with Bob Cox from ESPN. And Josh, I know for those of you who don't know about you and who you are and what it is that you do, you drive the number 9 car, and we've had a chance to come out to your races before. You're out at Lucas Oil Raceway. We're going to get to your conversations as to why we brought you on the show. But unfortunately, sometimes things change in racing, and you know that very well. Let me ask you this. You're a young, very young driver. Are you? What are you, 18, 19 years old?
No. I'll be 25 on Tuesday.
25 years old on Tuesday. Now tell us a little bit about your racing career, what it is that you do.
Yep, so I drive the 09 late model with the CRA, late model sportsman division. And we're actually out here at Lucas Oil Raceway getting ready to get started today. Practice starts at about 12:45. So we're pumped up, my favorite racetrack, and we think we're going to be pretty good. So we're going to try to get it done this weekend.
So that's
my favorite racetrack as well. That is the coolest race on the circuit. I was sorry when the Nationwide Series quit going there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And Walter, I think I called you Bob and not Walter, so I apologize, buddy. I just assumed
it was in the, you know, thinking of me as like Bob Jenkins. You know, it was a compliment.
You know what? And he has obviously retired as well. But we're joined by, let me ask you this, Josh, and we're going to get into some of your conversations as well. But Josh, do you have any memories at all of Chris Economaki?
You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't a whole lot. I know the name, and I know that it's, you know, we lost, the racing community lost a valuable member, but, you know, I don't, as far as personal experiences, unfortunately, I'm a little too young for that, but, you know, I do recognize that he was a vital part of racing, especially in the early years, so.
Well, the new Bob Swanson, or, and the new, racing, legend is Josh Timmerman. Josh, I apologize. We are having all kinds of problems today, and it's Saturday, and I don't know what else to tell you, buddy, but you just got to roll with the flow with us on this. But you're joined with Walter Cox and, of course, Kenny Barr with Speed Talk. So, guys, I'm going to let you guys go around the track here, per se, and talk with Josh about what he's got going on. So we're going to start with you, Kenny, and lead the pack on any questions that you have for Josh Timmerman.
Sure, I got a couple questions, Josh. Good to talk to you again, man.
Do
you know who Bob Swanson was?
What, say that again?
Do you know who Bob Swanson was?
You know what, I'll be honest, I have no idea who Bob Swanson was.
Well, don't feel bad. Neither did Walter or I, for sure. I've got Google going. I've learned a little bit about him. Take your time to look it up. It's rather interesting. Chris Economaki called him the best race car driver he's ever saw.
So okay, yeah.
So we're going to have to all learn and then prepare notes later on. Talk about Tell us about Lucas Oil Raceway, if you would, please, and how you feel about your day and the car set up and all the preparation going into the race.
Yep, Lucas Oil Raceway is a 5/8 mile here in outside Indianapolis. It's a track that the NASCAR Nationwide and the Truck Series guys used to run until they moved over to the big track. But, you know, we've got some good things going on. It's my favorite racetrack. We ran well here. I think we got fifth out of 31 or 32 cars in 2010. And then, unfortunately, we missed a couple races in between then, so that's why we kind of sat out the last race at Winchester just to make sure that we were going to be able to make this one. So we got the car dialed in, got some work done on over the last couple weeks, and I'm ready to let her loose and see what happens.
I hear you picked up a new sponsor, too. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah. So we got a new sponsor starting this week, which hopefully will turn into something a little more substantial next year. But it's the Days Hotel, Indianapolis Airport. And essentially, they're providing us with some rooms for this weekend, as also some a few other things. But, you know, We're glad to have Alex and his team on board, and I think we're going to do a great job representing them and hopefully bring them some business, and it's going to help us out too. So
Now Josh, also we're joined by Walter Cox of ESPN, who's actually out in Dover or on his way to Dover to cover, obviously, the big boys' race. Now, Walter, let me ask you this. And Josh, feel free to pick Walter's brain about anything. But an up-and-coming driver like Josh Timmerman, Walter, what kind of advice would you give him?
Oh, definitely. Stay in it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Know that car inside and out like the back of your hand, because there's no – it's funny. The people in the garage right now, you can tell a person that when they get in the car, it doesn't matter how the car is set up. They're going to give it all they got, and you know that. So – everybody's got to know that going in. I'm curious, Josh, how old were you when you first started racing? And tell us about your coming up through the ranks.
Yeah. So I started racing when I was 16 years old. I was racing a street stock at Kokomo Speedway, which is about a half an hour north of Indianapolis. So started doing that. Got Rookie of the Year. I think that was 2005, I believe. And then after that, we moved to the Super Truck division at Anderson Speedway, which we ran a couple years, got my first win there. And then we've been running the late model since 2009. Unfortunately, we've been running more of a part-time season ever since then. It just seems that, you know, something happens and we can't string together a whole season. But you know, it's all about one step in front of the other moving forward. And, you know, we got a lot of good stuff going on for next year. So hopefully next year we're going to be able to put a, you know, a championship run together.
Now,
is this a family-owned business, or are you driving for other people?
Yeah, pretty much it's myself and my dad, and we have a couple family friends that throw in on it a little bit too. So pretty much we work on the car and get it ready, and we also always, you know, for engines, we have Shoemaker Performance, and for all of our fabrication work, we go to Ellis Race Cars. So we outsource the stuff that we're not the professionals at, but, you know, we work hard, and we all pay for it. So in my opinion, it makes the racing a lot better because it's something that we put on the racetrack.
Well, that's very cool. I wish you lots of luck, and hope you have a good time racing tonight.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Now, we're talking with Walter Cox of ESPN. Now, Walter, you are the really why I brought you on the show, just because also you obviously are as old as dirt, and you know Chris Economaki. I'm just kidding. Walter, you're a good friend, and I enjoy your company. But also, more than anything, the reason why I thought that you would be the ideal person to talk to, I mean, Chris Economaki really well, what you do as a pit reporter, he actually, I would say, invented that. He actually created that position within motorsport broadcasting. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. He gave us the inside look that you ordinarily wouldn't get from a regular broadcast because it was, you know, back then it was up and coming and a growing sport, a growing media outlet. And, yeah, I believe he did change the face of racing as we know it today. He steered it in the right direction. And he is very sadly going to be missed.
Absolutely. And I know you're real busy getting ready to go out to Dover, so you could jump off at any time here. But I do want to go back to Josh Timmerman. Now, Josh, I tell you what, we were just talking about you trying to string some wins together to get a championship in the late model races. Now, here's what I do know. They call you Mr. September for a reason. And I told you it would be a mistake to be on my Facebook because I will stalk you. I promise you that. So I hear you have the nickname of Mr. September, and each year September consistently seems to be the month where good things seem to happen to you, and this year is absolutely no exception. Earlier yesterday, you learned that you've been added to the ballot of Speed51.com, late model most popular driver, and tonight you will actually be interviewed on this week's episode of Speed Talk as well, which will be aired right here on the Balance Radio Network. And so talk with me a little bit about Mr. September. It sounds super. It sounds like you're a superhero.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about superhero, but, you know, I got my first win in September 2008. So it's that kind of started it all. And the best part about that it was Families for Hope night there, which is one of the nonprofits that I really support. But yeah, September seems to be a good month. You know, especially in 2010 when we had the good run here at Lucas Oil, that was in September. And it just, whatever it is, it seems like September's my month. And hopefully we can keep it going. You know, we got the sponsor this month, and we got the race tomorrow, practice and qualifying today. So hopefully we can keep it going, man. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm ready to get out on the racetrack.
Well, I tell you what, I really enjoyed watching you out at Anderson Raceway a few months ago, and you are a go-getter, and you've got the drive, and if anybody can do it, Josh, you can. What I want to know about being recognized as one of the top five riding candidates in 2012, how does that happen? Do you just have a lot of cool friends that just say, "Hey, man, we're gonna get him on the ballot," or how's that happen?
Man, I'll be honest, I really don't know. I can say that, you know, we work really hard. At the times that we're not at the racetrack, I try to go and be with all my friends because a lot of the people that I race with have now become my friends. So I spend a lot of time doing that, and plus, you know, the Families for Hope. So I figured if I've done enough good things, then good things will happen in return. And I was completely blown away that you know, I was considered one of the top five write-ins. You know, and that's the, you know, Speed 51. Obviously, Bob Dillner owns that. It's one of the most prestigious things to be, and to be considered one of the most popular drivers in the entire country is pretty darn cool.
Well, Kenny, I have not forgot about you.
Any questions that you have for Josh?
Nope. No, not at all. I just want to wish Josh good luck today. I've been on that racetrack myself, and it's a fun track to be on. It's a fast track to be on. The high side seems to be the favorite, but if you can figure out a way to go low and dive on some of those guys, you'll make a lot of headway, but the car's got to be just about perfectly balanced, and the grip's got to be there. Otherwise, it might be a follow-the-leader kind of day, but it's a fun racetrack, big sweeping turns, and I'm not surprised that is your favorite track, Josh. So keep the fenders on it, we'll blow the motor up, and I will see you at Winchester here in the middle of October.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I can't wait.
Now, Josh, I tell you what, you're really in this big campaign, and you know what? We have a tendency to get people to vote that need to vote, and so tell us how people can vote for you, and where do they go to vote?
Yeah, so there's lots of ways that you can get there. First of all, you can go to my website, joshzimmerman.com. You can look me up on Facebook, my page, my driver page. Just search Josh Zimmerman. You'll be able to get it through Twitter, at Josh Zimmerman, and then you can go on to speed51.com, and there'll be a link on there for the most popular driver poll. And I'll be down towards the bottom in the little red box.
Well, we're going to hope to have you as the most popular driver. And I want to clue you in on something. Courtney Force was on our show just 1 week before she won, like the biggest one of the biggest lotteries ever with NHRA. So just so you know, you are in the same ranks of Courtney Force. You just heard Walter call. And I want to tell you this. Walter had to get off because he's out at Dover, and he's got to do some sort of race coverage stuff. I don't know. Something's going on down there in Dover. I don't really know. But anyway, he sends me a text here, and I'll read it to you. He says, "Tell Josh good luck tonight, and I'll make sure that I send him my vote." So there you go. You got guys from ESPN voting for you just because you were here on The Balance, Josh.
Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome. I appreciate that.
So, talk to me a little bit more about Families of Hope. I know that's something that's very near and dear to your heart, and we wouldn't want to let you go without talking about Families for Hope.
Yeah, Families for Hope essentially is a nonprofit organization. My mom was a home care nurse, and she took care of this little boy, Sammy, and Sammy had what's called holoprosencephaly, and essentially what that means is the brain doesn't split into its two halves. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of hope from the beginning. So Sammy's mom, Leslie, started this Families for Hope, and it's really just a networking group of families and doctors and things of that nature to raise awareness and to do good things. So, you know, growing up, when I was starting racing, I always wanted to attach myself to something. So when you know, naturally, since my mom was a nurse for Sammy, you know, I kind of just stuck with that. And, you know, Sammy unfortunately passed away a few years ago. So, you know, Leslie and Steve and their family is kind of part of our family now. So we're really proud to be doing something like that. And we're, you know, we're more, our team is more about what we do off the racetrack than we do on the racetrack. So we're really proud of that.
Well, and I know that we're very proud of you as well. And we try to help Families of Hope as much as we possibly can. Obviously, their link is on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, and our sister company, www.indieprosports.com. And we're very excited to have Josh Timmerman with us today, who's obviously got a brand new sponsor, the Days Inn Motel here in Indianapolis, the number 9 car, who is up and coming. And guys, I'm going to tell you, we're really talking to one of the most up and coming drivers in the racing circuit. So, Josh, realistically, you're 25 years old. Tell us what happens with your career going forward and what you hope to happen.
Well, you know, really, it's all about it just depends on the funding. You know, my career outside of racing, I'm a financial advisor, so I work in the financial services industry. But, you know, I think that our goal is going to be driven by our performance. So next year we're hoping to string a whole season together and make a championship run. And, you know, if things go well and we can win some races, we're going to move up, and we'll move up to the elite division here in CRA. CRA is one of the best, you know, classes and divisions to run in the entire country. So, you know, we're racing with a good group of guys. So like I said, it's really just going to be dependent on the performance of our race cars. And if we can, if we can do well, then we'll move up. But if we're struggling, then obviously there's no reason to move up. But I think that we're starting to get it figured out, and I think our results are going to start to show for it.
Well, we're talking with Josh Timmerman, Mr. September. Josh, I tell you what, we do need to let you go because we've got to get on with this show here. But let me ask you this real quickly before we let you go. How can fans come out to the Lucas Oil Raceway? Again, talk to us about what's going on there this weekend and where you'll be at.
Yep, so we're at Lucas Oil Raceway, which is in Brownsburg, considered now. So it's right just west of Indianapolis. What you can do is essentially the race is tomorrow, starts at 1 o'clock. I think tickets are $10 or $12 to get in. You can look at all this information on my webpage at joshtimmerman.com, Facebook or Twitter at Josh Timmerman.
All right, Josh, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Kenny, do you have any last final thoughts for Josh Timmerman?
No, I think I laid them on him earlier, don't blow it up and have a good solid finish.
Well, we look forward to watching you this weekend, Josh. I know that we plan on trying to be out there both today and tomorrow, but definitely we're going to be out there tomorrow as well. So we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us today. I know that you're very busy as well. Josh, good luck to you, and hopefully we'll see Mr. September, the most popular late model car in 2012.
All right, thanks.
Well, with NASCAR, and as the chase heats up, I'm sure that he does too as well. And Kenny from Radio Speed Talk and Josh Timmerman, we had a lot of fun talking about that. Of course, we were talking about the passing of Chris Economaki, a lot of serious conversations mixed in with a lot of fun. Well, guys, you're listening to The Balance on Saturday morning, as you do every Saturday morning, and we do appreciate it. It's because of you, the minions, that have allowed us to grow to the point that we're at now. And one of the great things that we're doing right now, that's why we're playing the best of, we're actually moving our Balance studios. Right now people are unloading the truck, they're unloading studio stuff, but I promise you, without a doubt, next week we will be back on track doing our show live like we always do right here on Blog Talk Radio, with all of our affiliate radio stations as well. You know, many times it's hard to find the best of, and myself and my producer, Michelle, sat back and tried to figure out what is the best of the best of. And I think we've come up with a great show for you. We do have to shift gears just a tad bit. We're going to move over to football talk. And, guys, I told you earlier on we're going to try our best to get on Elizabeth the Greek, and it looks like we're going to make that happen for you. And, Elizabeth the Greek is, I tell you what, she's one of the most popular things that we have. If you don't know, bring you up to speed. I think she's 4, maybe 5 years old, but she has, I tell you what, if you guys are out there making your picks and you're saying, oh, I'm going to wait, and I'm going to try to figure this out, you don't got to wait anymore because Elizabeth the Greek is coming up for this week's picks. We're not going to do the best of Elizabeth the Greek. It is actually this week's pick. I'm sure she's going to talk about the Colts in Miami. Always talks about Notre Dame, but just a lot of fun to listen to. So we're going to listen to her. And on the back side of that, obviously, normally we talk to Jimmy the intern now, and we usually talk with Evan from up at Purdue University. But we're going to go right back into the best of after Elizabeth the Greek. Guys, my name is Tom Mark with Al Presidente. My minions, it is so glad to have you along with me today. We'll be right back on the best of The Balance on the Balance Radio Network.
Sleep! Ladies and gentlemen,
after a day of speaking with and listening, it's time for...
Please, tell us your name.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Elizabeth, last week you did marginally good. You did 7-5. Your favorite team won. They had a couple upsets that you didn't do. And your Peyton Manning, you like him, right?
Yeah.
Well, he won. So, and you picked that one. Yeah, with the Denver Broncos. So, let's get into it. In college, do you go with the Missouri Tigers or the number 7 Florida Gators?
Florida Gators.
The number 7 Florida Gators. Number 24, Oklahoma State Cowboys, or the number 3 Kansas State Wildcats?
Kansas State Wildcats!
Let's move over to the SEC. Number 4, Oregon Ducks, or the number 17 USC Trojans?
Quack.
Are you quacking like a duck?
Quack, quack.
So you're going with the Oregon Ducks. Okay. The big one in the SEC. Do you go with the number 1 Alabama Crimson Tide or the number 5 LSU Tigers?
LSU Tigers.
The LSU Tigers. Calling the upset on that one. And your favorite one? Pittsburgh Panthers.
Daddy, you know who I'm gonna pick.
I know, but I have to ask you, okay? Are you gonna go with the Pittsburgh Panthers or the number 3 Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
Fighting Irish, Irish.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Moving on to the NFL and the professional ranks. In the 1 o'clock game, do you go with the Chicago Bears or the Tennessee Titans? The Bears? Don't you mean the Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears. Another 1 o'clock game, the Miami Dolphins or the Indianapolis Colts?
Indianapolis Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts. Moving on to 4 o'clock, the Minnesota Vikings or the Seattle Seahawks?
Seattle Seahawks.
The Seattle Seahawks. Sunday night, Dallas Cowboys or the undefeated Atlanta Falcons? The Atlanta Falcons. And finally, on Monday night, do we go with the Philadelphia Eagles or the New Orleans Saints? The Philadelphia Eagles. Who picked those?
Remember to like me on Facebook. Facebook.com/Elizabeth38.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek, never letting us down. Never, 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 never. We are so glad that Elizabeth the Greek takes time. I love her, man. She does. What are your thoughts on her picks? Go ahead and tweet them right now, guys. As you know, we are taping today's show. So, unfortunately, we cannot get into any live discussions. But go ahead and tweet your thoughts on her picks at T-Balance. By the way, if you're not following us on Twitter, go ahead and do that. T-Balance and our sister company, IndyProSports.com at Pro Indian. Guys, if you like sports here in Indianapolis, like we do here at The Balance, you have got to be checking out IndyProSports.com. We do everything Indianapolis sports, that's for sure. And that brings me to our next segment here. As you know, we do a full balance of sports. We do everything from racing to football to the NFL, but we're based here in Indianapolis, and we always try to spend a little time, even though we're a national show, we like to spend some time talking about our local backyard. And our local backyard is the Indianapolis Colts, and we always like to have guests from the local media here joining us. So obviously, Philip B. Wilson, Rich Nye is who we're going to listen to next from WTHR Sports. Rich, the sports guy, always a pleasure, and obviously one of the key reporters here locally for the Indianapolis Colts. And as you know very well, Indianapolis signed the number 1 draft pick, and Mr. Andrew Luck. And you know what? There was a lot of talk, especially right here on The Balance, about RG3. Did we sign RG3? Or, You know, I was the guy that was rooting for RG3. And, you know, I'm glad that Luck is doing well. And obviously we talked about that at the beginning of the show, of how well the Indianapolis Colts are doing. Well, I thought it would be appropriate to go back and pull from the archives. Boy, it seems like a long time ago, but really it wasn't when we signed Andrew Luck. So we had Rich Nye on the show from WTHR Sports and talking with us about that very subject, the signing of Andrew Luck. So, again, best of, just a reminder to you guys, we are moving our studios. This is the best of the balance, and next week we will be back on track with our brand new studios and really, really excited about that. Well, guys, without further ado, Mr. Rich Nye of WTHR Sports.
I think I might actually have to do it today.
That's crazy. You know, I was outside walking across the lawn just the other day, and I heard this crunchy sound. It reminded me of fall. It was really weird. And here in Indianapolis, obviously, of course, we're a national show, so, I mean, everybody doesn't have the same water ban. But here in our local market, no water. and no water at all. And you can't be watering the lawns or anything, but it is good that we're finally getting back to normal. Speaking of getting back to normal, Indianapolis Colts finally signed a deal just a few days after RG3. Was that by design, or were they waiting to see what RG3 did before they made their deal? And really help us break that down. Obviously, we've heard some of the reports coming from the Indianapolis Star, $14.5 million guaranteed, $20 million over the next 4 years with that five-year option. So really, we kind of have him for 5 years. So walk us through the contract, what they came up with, and was the timing was it timing, or was it just business as usual? RG3 had nothing to do with the announcement of Luck.
Oh, no, I think RG3 had something to do with the announcement of Luck. Usually these things happen in reverse order. If you look at the Colts draft picks this year, they pretty much signed their picks in reverse order. And that's the way it happens in the overall draft as well, for the most part. And the reason is that these agents all want to one-up the next guy. And if you're the third pick in the draft, you want to make more money than the fourth pick in the draft. Now, that can vary a little bit because quarterbacks tend to make a little bit more money than other positions. But when you've got two quarterbacks at the top of the draft, and Griffin III and Andrew Luck does not want to have his contract signed and then 2 days later find out that RG3 got a little bit more money. So I do think there was probably – I think most of the deal was probably done. The parameters were set in place, but I do think they were probably waiting for Robert Griffin's deal to be announced to double-check those numbers. And then, you know, Will Wilson, Andrew Luck's agent, made sure that Andrew was just getting just a little bit more. As it turns out, he gets $1 million more over the course of the four-year deal. And I would mention and point out that this is actually guaranteed contract. So not just the bonus is guaranteed, but the entire 4 years, $22.1 million, is guaranteed. And that's sort of the one thing that has changed for rookies in the NFL is a guy like Luck at least gets a guaranteed deal, even though he's getting much less money than top picks at the draft were getting just a few years ago. I think probably the most remarkable perspective on this Andrew Luck deal is that he gets 4 years, $22.1 million, in 2012. In 1998, 14 years ago, Peyton Manning got $48 million for 6 years with an $11.6 million signing bonus. So Peyton's, though his signing bonus was smaller, overall the deal was much more lucrative, and per season it was more lucrative for Manning, and that doesn't even account for 14 years of inflation. So that tells you how the NFL was completely out of whack and overpaying rookies at the top of the draft, and how they've reined that in this latest collective bargaining agreement that was agreed to a year ago to bring these rookie salaries back under control to where you actually have to perform and earn your money before you get it in the NFL. Not that Andrew Luck is hurting at 4 years, $22.1 million.
Absolutely, and you're right. You bring up a very good point. The most recent NFL collective bargaining agreement doesn't give them a lot of wiggle room at all in the rookie contracts.
And again, as I alluded to a while ago, and WGHR does a fine job, a fantastic job, but the Indianapolis Star, Mike Chappell and Phil Richards, have somehow knows the figures and nobody else does. So we'll just kind of use the numbers that they're throwing around, that it's worth around $22 million. And I guess this should really kind of come in close contrast with last year's number one pick, Cam Newton, with the Panthers. So I guess maybe a lot of the anxiety, and let's face it, we lost Peyton Manning. We've got the approaching Colts training camp, and I don't know if Luck has been practicing since his graduation or not. And there hasn't been much public appearance by Andrew Luck. They've kind of kept him under wraps there. So I think a lot of people were just worried, is this thing going to happen? Of course, you told us that it was, and we were getting the figures from Indianapolis Star. But also, I mean, especially a guy with the connections that you have could tell us that those are pretty realistic figures that the Star is releasing. Do you have the details of the contract? I guess I'll word it that way.
Well, I haven't seen the contract, I'll put it that way, but I know that not just Indianapolis Star, but Associated Press has confirmed the numbers on a four-year, $22.1 million deal. Those numbers have been confirmed. And you do know, under this new collective bargaining agreement, about where the deal has to shake out. You can only pay, you know, your rookies a total amount of money in a certain pool, and basically it's like the NBA. In the NBA, it's so slotted out that you can basically tell a guy what he's going to be making the day he's drafted based on what position he's drafted at. And the NFL has become almost that way with its slotted draft picks, and that's why everyone was saying, well, he's a quarterback, he was the number one pick, so as a quarterback and the number one pick, his deal will basically be very, very similar to Cam Newton's deal a year ago. And so when the numbers can't really be finagled that much, the negotiating points become other smaller, minor details. And I don't know, again, that it was ever really being held up. It's just that things take time, and nobody gets things done in any of our lives until there's a deadline in front of us. And I do think that you had to wait until Robert Griffin III signed his deal, because, again, Andrew Luck wants to get more, and Andrew Luck's agent, probably more specifically, wants to get more for his client than the number two pick gets. So you've got to see what he gets before you can finalize what your guy's going to get. And that all just takes time. But given the way the structure is set up now, it has taken a lot of the negotiating, the figures out of it, and you know what your guy's going to get. And that's why we don't see the rookie holdouts that we used to see, which, by the way, Peyton Manning missed the first couple of days of training camp back in 1998, and that's not going to happen with Andrew Luck. In fact, he'll not only be in Anderson next Saturday, but he'll be out at the Colts Complex starting on Wednesday for a three-day rookie camp.
Well, it's time to get down to work, and I also want to talk about your recent story on WTHR that talks about Fleener and Allen are the only Colts of the 2012 draft picks yet to sign a contract. So I guess, we just got all worked up about Luck and forgot about all the other Colt players. But you did a good job of pointing that out. Anything else you want to point out on that story or anything else about Andrew Luck? Because I know that we have you for a limited time as well today, and we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us about that, and we'll obviously we'll have you back on throughout the Colts season. But is there anything else you want to talk to us about, what you're covering there on WTHR and the Colts and training camp and what goes forward from here?
Well, I just would say that, you know, obviously you've got two rookie tight ends who are still unsigned, and I think those deals will probably happen here within the next couple of days. I'd be surprised if both those guys aren't in training camp as well next Saturday. I just think the way the system is now set up, that these guys pretty much know what they're going to make, and I was a little bit surprised, actually, that the Luck deal got done before those two guys. But I think both of them will be in camp, and I think they're both going to be essential to what the Colts do this season, because as Colts fans know, everybody at the tight end position that they knew and loved is gone. Dallas Clark is gone. Jacob Tammy is gone. The Colts don't have an experienced tight end on their roster who was caught considerable passes in the NFL. And so these two guys are high draft picks who are going to be expected to come in and play right away. The Colts have made it clear that they will run some two tight end offense. And so I expect to see both these guys on the field together quite a bit this season. So Kobe Fleener obviously will be very comfortable with Andrew Luck. He's been catching passes with him for years out at Stanford. And Dwayne Allen is a very accomplished tight end out of Clemson. And I think both these guys need to get to camp and will be at camp and will be a crucial part of the Colts offense starting this season.
Well, Rich Nye, the sports guy from WGHR, talking to us about the new signed rookie of the Indianapolis Colts. Rich, where will the Colts end up this year, season-wise, record-wise?
I would like to see them and try to believe that. I never make my final prediction until the preseason is over. That way I have some idea of who's playing what positions and at least where they're at going into the season. But today, if you're asking me for a hard number, I would say 5 wins would be a great season. I think five wins would be a great season for this team.
I couldn't agree with you more. I was somewhere around 6. But normally, Rich, I wait until the end of the regular season to give my prediction. So, you know.
That helps a lot.
All right, Mr. Rich Nye, where can people find your work and your masterpieces at, sir?
Well, in Indianapolis, of course, you can watch me first and foremost on WTHR Channel 13, home of the London Olympics, I might mention. If you've been watching our air, there's no way you could have missed that, which will open next Friday with the opening ceremonies. What a big weekend next weekend is with the Olympics opening, the Super Weekend out at the Brickyard, and then, of course, Colts training camp. You can also follow me on Twitter. The handle is thesportsguy13. Or I would love for you to like my Facebook page, Rich Nye, the Sports Guy, WTHR, on Facebook.
All right, Rich. We'll talk to you later. Don't be a stranger throughout the season.
All right. Call anytime.
All right. Mr. Rich Nye of WTHR Sports, Rich Nye, the Sports Guy, talking to us about the new contract with Andrew Luck. Guys, we got to take a break, and right around the corner, that's right, as promised, we are jumping in the boxing ring with Mr. Jay Graves. Holler at your boy of jgravesreport.com. Guys, stand by because you know what? It's just now getting good. You thought it was good already? It's getting better.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Speed Talk.
Speed Talk who? Really, Pete? You're going to seriously make us do this?
Speed Talk is all new this week with Scott Smith talking about the upcoming ARCA race at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Check out what the crew thinks about the...
All right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our show today, the best of the balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And as you know, as we've mentioned several times during the show, this is the best of. And... we're actually moving our studios into a bigger and better facility, if you will. We've kind of outgrown this facility. You know, I do want to take some time to make sure that you guys are following us on Twitter, G-Balance, as well as our sister company, Pro Indy. And you can find us on Facebook, The Balance, and on Facebook as well for IndyProSports.com. Go to Indy Pro Sports. Guys, I tell you what, this has been a great show. I enjoy doing this. This is the first in a while that we've done the best of, and obviously we just keep having better and better guests and better conversations, and it's just so much fun when we're able to just go back and listen to some of the old shows. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have enjoyed putting it together for you. I tell you what we're going to do here is we're going to go, as we do every Saturday, and I didn't want to leave these guys left out. Every Saturday morning we do College Football Saturday right here on The Balance. And we have two rivals, if you will. On one hand, Jimmy the intern from down at Indiana University. And on the other hand, we have Evan Williams from Purdue University as well. And we break down the college games, and of course, from time to time, we have Pete LaFuchsia, and we have different other people, and of course, our callers and stuff call in. And we break down the college football of that particular day. So we have a lot of fun with that. So I thought, you know, as we come to a close of the show here, that I would feature, you know, it's hard to do the best of college football. I mean, college football is college football. It's the best football. You know, I love pro football. Don't get me wrong. I love the NFL. I love to watch the Colts. You know, of course, Monday night football, Thursday night football. I think we could have football every night of the week. But I like college football. I have a lot of fun doing it. This is one of my favorite segments to do. And so I didn't want to leave these guys out of the mix, if you will. So what we're going to do is we're just going to play one of our segments from College Football Saturday. And hopefully that you guys will also follow Evan and Jimmy the intern on their perspective Twitter accounts and Facebook as well. But one thing I can tell you, one thing for sure, we have a lot of fun talking college football. Right now, here's college a sample of College Football Saturday, if you will, with Jimmy the intern, Evan, and myself. Car Championship out in Fontana, California, taking it away from the grass for Will Power. And what an exciting race that was for Ed Carpenter to win. So make sure you catch Speed Talk right here on the Balance Radio Network tomorrow, right after the Colts game. Well, guys, it's that time of Saturday morning when we break down all the college action. And my two pros experts, or my team's here. I have to kind of – I'm like the dad of the gang here. And I'm using gag now because we used it in the first segment. So we can change the vernacular a little bit if you'd like. But we've got Evan Williams from Purdue University, and Jimmy the intern is, in fact, joining us. From Indiana University, two of the biggest schools in the Big Ten, and obviously given their own perspective of college football Saturday. Evan, welcome back to The Balance, sir.
How's it going, Tom?
It is going good. Glad that you could join us again.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back on.
I have to give you a hard time. Also, Jimmy the intern. Buddy, I was beginning to worry about you. I don't know if you stayed up too late studying or something, and I was just like, you know, I was about to freak out. I thought you were in that proverbial ditch somewhere in that ghetto cruiser.
Yeah, Tom, I made it on the show just fine. I've just been having a bit of a problem with my phone. It's on the fritz a little bit. I'm hoping it makes it through the segment.
I hope so, Joe. You did pay the bill, didn't you?
I paid the bill, but, you know, a Samsung Intensity 2 is a long way from a smartphone, my friend.
You need to get you the new iPhone 5. Are you an Apple or a Droid guy?
Right now, I'm neither. Like I said, probably I would be an Apple guy, but let's face it, the ghetto cruiser doesn't feed itself. Yeah, it costs money.
It does. Evan, are you a Droid or Apple guy?
I'm a big Apple guy. I got my iPhone 4S right now.
There you go. I am a huge Apple guy. And I tell you what, I'm still stuck in the past. I mean, I'm like dinosaur ages. I've got an iPhone 3. My son's got an iPhone 5. And he's like, hey, I got the 5. You still on the 3, Dad? So here's the thing. I feel like I've got one of those old flip phones that I got to pull up the antenna on, you know, that I've got the 5. Now, our social media director, Michelle, she's a big Droid person and thinks Apple is the bad guy out to destroy the world. So, you know, as long as you guys are happy and we can connect and talk college football, I guess that's what matters. Well, we're going to talk some college football. Let's talk about – we'll start with Purdue. Obviously, I'm liking what I'm seeing this year with Purdue. And I know, obviously, they're 2-1. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about Purdue. Obviously, they got they had Eastern Michigan just did a – I don't want like to use the words run up the score. Obviously, it's college football. They can run up the score if they want to. But 54-16, that is a heck of a win for Purdue against Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, it was a good win, you know, after a tough loss against Notre Dame. It was, you know, a good game to pull everything back together, you know, get some practice in during the game. Most of the second team
played most of the second half for Purdue. So that was, I think, really a good tune-up. You know, now we have the bye week, which is good. You know, get some guys rested up, prepare for a tough Marshall team next week.
Jimmy, as you watch this game against Eastern Michigan, what are some of your thoughts on this particular game? Because to me, I don't like to use that word "run up the score," but IU saw that happen to them. What are your thoughts when you see a win of 54-16? Is that do you believe in the running up the score scenario?
Tom, I think it should mean even more coming from me, because when IU gets the score run up on it, I see nothing wrong with it. They can't stop the other team from doing it. The other team has every right to do it to them. I really don't have a problem with it. Especially that being said, to Purdue in this game against Eastern Michigan, I think they showed that they are indeed one of the best teams in their division. I don't think there were a lot of Purdue fans who thought that at the start of the year. But Purdue is outperforming their expectations, and a lot of other teams in that division aren't playing up to them. Purdue, I think, was just showing how capable of an offensive squad they are. They did that in spades last Saturday.
Right, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Ball State game. Dude, I think you absolutely jinxed us on that 39-41 score against Ball State. We saw what they did against UMass. You sent me a text that said Ball State's going to hand it to us. You are absolutely right. IU also has the bye week this week. But talk with us about that Ball State game.
IU played a lot better than I thought they were going to play. They were actually led at halftime. They finished the game with almost 560 yards. Kevin Wilson actually said afterwards, some folks were asking him questions about what he thought of his team's performance. He thought they were going to put 650 yards, 45 points up, quote-unquote, easy. He was really expecting great things out of his team. He saw them for three quarters. And IU scored 39 points in three quarters. It was that third quarter that killed them. They didn't score any. They moved the ball for only 32 yards, and Ball State outscored them 14-0. We don't need to get into the last couple drives. IU looked great. They really had no business winning that game because of how they performed in that third. But when they took the lead, Ball State down with 46 seconds to go. Personally, I don't think that Willie Snead made that catch. His elbow looked to be out of bounds, and even if it wasn't, he should have been ruled down in bounds. He should have been ruled down inside. The clock should have continued to run, and IU should have escaped with the victory. One way or another, Ball State should not have left Memorial Stadium with a victory, but somehow it's Indiana football, and that's exactly what happened.
And unfortunately, when you say it's Indiana football, I think everybody agrees with you. Unfortunately, we've come to expect that scenario. Well, we're going to walk around the Big Ten. Obviously, we know that both Purdue and IU are on a bye week. It gives them an opportunity to regroup, and maybe do some healing on the injury front. Real quickly, Evan, is there anything that you think that Purdue needs to do in this bye week to get ready as they get ready for the Big Ten in the near future here?
I think they need to use this bye week to really study film and to practice, because right after this Marshall game, they're going into the toughest stretch of their Big Ten schedule with Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. So Purdue's really going to have to be prepared to come out those weeks and play as hard as they can and show that they can put points up on the board like they've done against, Eastern Michigan, Eastern Kentucky, and also play defense like they did in games like Notre Dame. But like I said, earlier, the bye week's really good at this time to get some guys rested up. There's not too many major injuries out there for Purdue right now, so knock on wood for that. Just some minor things, get some guys, rehabbed a little bit, and come out next week and play hard.
All right, guys, let's walk around the Big Ten here, and we might run over just a tad bit because I want to make sure that we get through a lot of our college football talk, and we don't have a scheduled NFL guest. We might run over a little bit, so if you guys need to jump off, just say, hey, buddy, I got to go if we run over the 10 o'clock mark. But I do want to get through some of these games. Let's talk about Michigan State and Eastern Michigan. Obviously, Notre Dame handed it to Michigan State last week. Certainly, I didn't see that coming. But then we look at who they play. We look at them playing Eastern Michigan, obviously a big interstate rivalry going on there between the two of them. And we look at what Purdue was able to do to Eastern Michigan last week, and we look at what Notre Dame was able to do to Michigan State. So to me, it's just kind of a wash, although Michigan State goes in at 2-1. Eastern Michigan goes in at 0-3. Michigan State certainly should not have any problems with Eastern Michigan. But we'll start with you, Evan. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, Mike, I was really surprised that Michigan State got beat as bad as they did by Notre Dame. I thought they would play a lot more competitive of a game. But I think the key to Michigan State is to shut down EMU's run game. Eastern Michigan did have a pretty capable running game. Purdue did a great job at really limiting the runs that they allowed, but they did break off some big runs. And they do have I can't think of his name. I can't pull it up in front of me, but Eastern Michigan's got a pretty good running back. So, I mean, Michigan State should roll over them. That's the key word, they should. But, you know, look for Eastern Michigan to come out like they did against Purdue running, and, you know, this could be an interesting ball game.
All right, Jimmy, what are your thoughts, Eastern Michigan and Michigan State? Are you still with us, Jimmy? Go ahead. I think we lost you. You'll have to repeat what you just said. I apologize.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm on a different phone than I was before. The other one crapped out, so I'm calling a couple audibles here on the run. Just saying that Eastern Michigan is nowhere near the team Michigan State is. I missed if you guys have already talked about Notre Dame. Did I miss that?
Well, we're just talking about what a great win Notre Dame had over Michigan State, and no one saw that happening. But to me, what I said was I think that it's a wash when you look at Eastern Michigan and how they got beat by Purdue and how Michigan State got beat by Notre Dame. No one saw that coming. So what are your thoughts on that whole game there, Michigan State and Eastern Michigan?
Well, I still think that Michigan State coming to that game was vastly overrated. I think I made that point on your show last week, just that I didn't think Michigan State had a whole lot beyond Le'Veon Bell. They have a pretty good defense and a very good run game, but Notre Dame in their front seven was able to dominate. I wouldn't be surprised if Eastern Michigan keeps it a little closer than people expect. I don't expect them to win. But I really think people have oversold the Spartans. They don't have much of a passing game. Andrew Maxwell did not show a whole lot against Notre Dame. He still has a whole lot of room for development. I mean, it's a game that Michigan State should be expected to win handily. But the Spartans really aren't as good as people have been saying they are.
Well, I totally subscribe to that theory that the Spartans is a bunch of blowhards. Always said that. But here's the thing. I think Michigan State's got a good team, but I think this year Notre Dame really has proven with that win, a good solid win against a team like Michigan State. And a very good win. I think we have and we talked about it here on the show last week with you, Jimmy, about Notre Dame and this new conference schedule that they're in. Obviously, they became staying independent with the ACC when it comes to football. But I think Notre Dame is back, and I think that they shouldn't be taken too lightly, that's for sure. Well, we move on over to Temple versus Penn State today. Evan, let's talk a little bit about that. Obviously, the Nittany Lions looking to build on the last week's victory against Navy. So let's talk a little bit about this Penn State-Temple game, and what are your thoughts there?
I definitely think last week was a good win for Penn State. They really needed that. If they didn't win last week, things could have gotten out of hand, you know, as far as the rest of their season goes. But I think, you know, they'll have some momentum going into this Temple game with that win from last week. And I think Penn State will win this game, but, you know, it just depends on which team's going to come out and play. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond, you know, after the win last week to come out and how they play this week.
All right, well, let's, Jimmy, as long as, are you still with us? I'm going to say that every single time now. Penn State and Temple, what are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I can just sound off periodically like a submarine would with the sonar, that kind of thing. Make sure you guys know that
just
I am still on board. Yeah, but getting to the Penn State-Temple matchup, I actually do think we're spending some good time on this one because it's going to be a pretty fair indicator of where Penn State is to keep a regular eye on them. Because, like you said before, they struggled in their first two games, losing both of them, and finally getting off the schneid was something good to see. But at the same time, Penn State really has not shown a whole lot. Bill O'Brien coming in, trying to change a culture and really playing style of Penn State, making them a pass-first team, whereas last year they had not been. Matt McGloin went from a weakness last year to now being the focal point of their offense. And anytime that happens with a quarterback as seasoned as that one, I mean, he is who he is. And you know, he's done a very good job growing as a player, but he's also limited as a player. So I think we're going to see Penn State limited as a football team this year. I think they're actually about even with Temple, as sad as that is to say.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to move on around the Big Ten here. We'll start with you on this one, Jimmy, because we're going to talk about Notre Dame. Again, we talked about Notre Dame last week. But Michigan-Notre Dame, obviously, the Wolverines and Notre Dame in this huge non-conference showdown. And really, I think this is going to be as good of a game as last week. And you got great quarterbacks like Denard Robinson and Everett Golson, who really look to have a big game in front of a huge national audience. Those are just some of the key players in this game. This is a marquee, one of the marquee pick games of the week, in my opinion, Michigan versus Notre Dame.
Well, Tom, I'm going to take this opportunity. Actually, no, I won't take this opportunity to toot my own horn because
go
no
ahead.
One likes
we'll
someone
let
who does that. But at the same time, you know, having said that, I did come out last week and say that I thought that Notre Dame was a lot better than Michigan State and that they would beat him. I don't know if I can say the same thing this week against Michigan. I think Michigan has shown in the past that they're capable of exploiting Notre Dame's less than strong points, we'll put it that way, just in the secondary. The Irish don't have a whole lot of experience in the secondary, but they have a very strong front seven, and they have a really good offense. We talked about it all last year, that if the Irish were able to avoid turnovers, they were killing Michigan early on the road in Ann Arbor. If they hadn't had as many red zone turnovers as they had had, they wouldn't have been in the same position. And they would have been able to get away easily with a win over Michigan. I think tonight's game is going to tell us a lot about Notre Dame. The game last week told us a lot about Michigan State, stuff that some of us had a pretty good idea of but hadn't had it confirmed yet. I think the Irish are good enough in the front seven to take Denard Robinson's run game away. And I think we're going to learn a lot about Notre Dame's secondary, and we're going to learn a lot about Michigan, whether they're a real team. Because make no mistake, Notre Dame is very good.
I absolutely agree. I think this year, if Notre Dame can't put it together this year for a very big bowl appearance, I would be greatly, greatly surprised. Evan, what are your thoughts? Michigan and Notre Dame, obviously one of the key marquee matchups of the weekend. Are you with us there, Evan? Oh, it looks like we lost Evan. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you guys could take some time today to join us. We had a fun time today, didn't we? I tell you what, this best of was a lot of fun putting it together. I hope that you had as much fun listening to it as I did putting it together, and my social media director and producer, Michelle. I want to thank everyone that has had a part of the balance over the years, and all of our special guests, and as you heard throughout the best of, we really do have some really good guests, and I hope that you'll take some time every Saturday morning to join in us, and make sure that you follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, and our sister company, IndyProSports.com, Pro Indy. You can find us all on Facebook as well. We like hanging out on Facebook. In fact, we spend a lot of time there on Facebook. The Balance and Pro Indy on Facebook. Guys, I tell you what a great show we have had today. And you know what? Next week we'll be back, and everything will be back to normal. We'll have all of our crew, all of the gang, all of the team back, and we'll be talking sports. Give you a full balance of sports, from racing to college football. Well, not baseball, but we're going to be jumping into some NBA talks. We'll be talking about the Pacers and a lot of things going on with the NBA, obviously. I don't know. Are we ever going to talk hockey again? That's a subject we'll probably talk about next week. Of course, the racing. We talk a lot of racing, as you can tell. And we have a lot of great guests. It's Courtney Force, I mean, one of the greatest NHRA drivers right now of our time, obviously coming from that legendary family, John Force, a great job with her. And, of course, all of our friends over at Speed Talk, Kenny Clay.